The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. How you doing? You good?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
Got some football tonight. Last night, no baseball, which is a weird feeling.
Yep.
I guess we'll have to get used to that feeling pretty soon. But the NBA in full swing.
NBA binge fest for me last night.
Oh, I'm sure. We got JVT coming up. Jonathan Montoble, our senior NBA analyst, to talk both NBA and college football. Because, of course, he has a couple shows on college football over the weekend. Let's start with the NBA. And, of course, Unscripted with the Crack Man. Don't want to leave that out. That's our Thursday staple coming up from Bar Canada at the D. Let me just ask you this. First of all, let's start with Wembanyama, because I know you didn't have any bets on it, but Victor Wembanyama in the Spurs loss, 126-119 loss versus Dallas last night. Sorry, Spurs plus five people out there. That wasn't fun for you. 15 points, nine in the fourth quarter. So it was a late flurry from him on the points. 15 points, five boards, two assists on 6 of 9 shooting, 3 of 5 from behind the arc, notably, but 5 turnovers, 2 steals, 1 block. About what you expected for game one? A little disappointed, a little nonplussed by the whole thing?
No, not at all. If anything, the opposite.
I mean, you're impressed.
I think very much what I thought, and I think this is what you're going to see from Wemby, but man, I mean, he had his moments, especially in that fourth quarter, where it's, you don't look like a rook out there, man. I mean, putting up those shots, making those shots, but plays defensively.
Did it teach you something about, like, rebounding props, though? Like, maybe that's not the game that's going to flourish early?
Yeah, he's going to be more on the perimeter, defensively. I think that, look, almost every one of these games, there's something to learn, right? We talked about LeBron yesterday. What did we learn after that opening night? Oh, he's going to be on this minutes watch. I thought it was telling, listening to, Pop telling the broadcast that it was all he's been telling Wembanyama. All I want you to worry about is defense. Like, worry about defense, worry about defense. The offense is going to come. You can be an immediate contributor on defense. Yeah. I don't even want you worrying about your offense. So I thought that was a little telling going forward on how they're going to handle him. But what I didn't really get a good chance to see last night because of the foul issues is how's his stamina? How's he going to be able to hold up throughout the course of a game? But I think the fouls, like, that's going to be a thing. That is going to be a thing.
Foul trouble was the key, was the big thing last night.
Right. I mean, he's going to be an active shot blocker. He's going to try to be, and as he should be, especially if they're playing him at the four. It's going to be a lot, I think, like we saw out of Jaren Jackson Jr. a year ago, and he was in a lot of foul trouble throughout the year. So that's going to happen, but man, he had spurts in that game where he looked like the best dude on the floor, maybe sans Luka Doncic.
23 minutes, but dictated by the 5 fouls that he ended up with. All right, so I'm going to give you an NBA multiple choice. You ready for a way too early one-game reaction to one night of the NBA multiple choice?
Sure, let's go.
All right, which was the most notable performance of these? I don't know, I'll throw out 4 for you from yesterday in terms of, at least let's just make it raising an eyebrow as it points towards a bet, maybe a futures bet. Maybe you're like, oh boy, this is going to be great. Maybe it's an award bet, whatever. Okay, here are your choices. A, New Orleans Pelicans, Zion Williamson last night, 23 points, 7 boards in the Pelicans 111-104 win at Memphis. That's choice number one. Choice number two, Kristaps Porzingis for the Celtics last night, 30 points. Both Zion and Porzingis, second leading scorers on their teams, 30 points, 8 boards on 8 of 15, shooting 5 of 9 from behind the arc in the Celtics come from behind 108-104 win at New York. Choice number three, this gets a little more nuanced now. Think awards or whatever.
Okay.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 31-5-10 on 12 of 18 shooting, 2 of 5 from behind the arc in the Thunder's 20-point win at Chicago, which actually induced an impromptu team meeting for the Bulls right after the game.
Team meeting.
We need a meeting.
Billy Donovan, get out of here. We got a players-only meeting after game one.
Billy Donovan's like, okay,
I was sitting there last night with, like, excellent, with my Bulls under. I'm like, this is going so well.
And by the way, the Rockets getting beat by 30 was even worse. That's another story where it's like, are they going to be that bad?
Watch out.
And then here's just one off the grid. Choice number four, Cade Cunningham. And the reason I point this out, not only because he had 30 points and 9 assists in the Pistons' 103-102 loss at Miami, a loss that Miami scored their final points just under 3 minutes left in the game and just held on the rest of the way. Detroit had all the chances in the world. But I just want to say this with Cade Cunningham. He took 27 shots. He was 13 of 27, 4 of 9 from behind the arc. So just from a volume standpoint, just pointing at him like, well, might he be something if he's going to jack up that many shots every single game. So those are your choices. Zion, Porzingis, Gilgeous Alexander, and Cunningham. What was the most meaningful to you yesterday?
Oh, man. See, a lot of those, I think, I wasn't shocked by Zion. I was on the Pelicans. That was part of the handicap. But yeah, I think I want to go there because you know me, there's excitement when he's on the court. And we saw when he played last year, this was a top 10 offensive and defensive team throughout that time last year. And I don't think if he can stay healthy, and I know that's a huge if, and with the rules now, if you having to play 65 games or 62, even if you have an injury, I don't think there's an award bet you should be running to make. But it's a team to track. I think it's a bet on team early for me. I think you'll be seeing me bet on them early and often, Gil. Team futures, I'd be more open to that than an MVP bet or something like that on Zion if you were really going to get crazy. Not only because of the other great players that are in the NBA, but is he really going to play that many games? I don't know. Pelicans, though, definitely I will be having my eye on closely here to start the season.
And Porzingis, at least for one game, couldn't have melded in better to that team.
Yeah,
is this
absolutely
a better team than last year's Celtics? Immediately, it's better.
Without a doubt.
It's
not quite as deep, but without a doubt. Same thing with Bucks. You're without a doubt better. You're not quite as deep.
Bucks debut tonight. You got any play in the Bucks game?
No, nothing.
Sixers Bucks.
Nothing tonight. I grabbed a little bit of Lakers money line when the news came down yesterday that both Devin Booker and Bradley Beal will be doubtful for the game tonight.
That's amazing.
In game two of the season. So I grabbed a little bit of the money line. That up to 6, 5.5, 6 now most places. Nothing big for me though. I know JVT wrote up a bit about this game, but we have him next, so I'm not going to give away his play.
Okay. Football tonight.
Forgot he was on.
Thursday night football, week 8 in the National Football League. Is it week 8 or week 9? I can't remember.
Week 8. I did the same thing earlier.
I was like, I can't even keep track anymore. Week 8 in the National Football League. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Buffalo Bills. And the Bills really got to stop this slide here. Kelly and I have already talked about the Bills as a great teaser leg this week. And if you need, like, if you're into trends, which we're not on this show, but if you want a teaser-friendly trend, Josh Allen in this kind of spot, 16-1 straight up, is a home favorite of at least 7 points. So that would lend to the teaser leg work out.
We're kind of out of that price range, though.
We are now. It's 9.
I almost fell over, walked in today, and looked up at the circuit board, and they got 10 up.
Yeah, it's gone now. It's 9 consensus, but it's 10 up here at Circa. The total's at 43.5. So if you do the conflation of that, of the two things, what is that? Boop, 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 boop. It's like 26-16 kind of thing, kind of game is what's expected by the market anyway at this point. When we do Thursday Night Football, we always like to highlight sort of an analytic stat that, you know, might lead you towards a bet. We talked about Derek Carr and the Saints last week as being able to really move the ball between the 20s, but then when they get in the red zone, they're just god-awful, and you've got to make the assessment and the handicap. Is that just something that's going to be their identity, or is that something that regresses? Dr. Bob, who's on the Megapod today, which I'm doing with Will Hill and Todd Wishnev after this show, he would say, it will absolutely regress, those kinds of things. So the big thing with these two defenses this year, Tampa Bay's and Buffalo, Tampa Bay blitzes at the 4th highest rate in the National Football League, but they have the 9th lowest pressure rate as a result of blitzing at the 4th highest rate. That ain't good. And if you blitz someone like Josh Allen, you don't get pressure. That's not the way to go, because he ranks 3rd in EPA per play and 7th as well. At 6th in quarterback rating, pardon me, out of 35 quarterbacks in those situations. So that's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, Buffalo can exploit that. Now, the Bucs defense, this is the real thing that I want to talk about. Also, with them, they've allowed the 7th most yards per drive, but just the 10th fewest points per drive. So why? They have forced 3rd most turnovers in the National Football League. while only allowing 22% of red zone drives to result in a touchdown. That comes to us from Action Network. So that rate is unsustainable, right? The league average red zone touchdown percentage is 54%, just to give you an idea. So if you're, you know, if you've allowed the seventh most yards per drive, but just the 10th fewest points per drive, that means not only are you forcing a lot of turnovers, but you're making like really fortuitous key red zone stops. It's not sustainable. My whole Giants, again, alternate season win total under this year is based on how they never regressed to the mean last year. They were just running hot on all of that last year. But the Bills are the same way. 15th most yards per drive allowed, but 7th fewest points allowed per drive from their defense. And again, like the Tampa Bay defense, the reason they've been able to do that, they've generated the second most turnovers in the league and have only allowed 40% of red zone drives to result in a touchdown, which is the 6th lowest mark in the NFL. So you have two defenses which give up a bunch of yards, but not a lot of points because they've gotten turnovers. And now with the Bills, you have obviously Taquan Jones out, Matt Milano out, Tre'Davious White out. You can't think that that's going to be sustainable. So what does all of that point to when you throw that in the wash? Maybe an over on this total, which now we're seeing 43.5 on this. That seems to indicate that would be the play based on that one snapshot. Those two defenses being bend, don't break defenses, as the standard mainstream announcer would call them. But there's numbers behind that. And you just have to ask yourself, is that sustainable? Some people might say, oh, yeah, that's their identity. The analytics folks would not. They'd say, oh, no, there's a spillage of points getting ready to happen.
Anything for you on this one tonight?
Yeah, I would lean over. I haven't made a play yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, didn't know if this was one
and
of the
I do have a Bills teaser leg. Okay, yeah, I would do that. That much I would do. JVT on his thoughts on the NBA last night. His college football plays. Next, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now, get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That includes daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's a very pensive looking Kelly Bidlin sitting to my right.
You okay? I'm looking forward to the MLB playoffs.
You know they started already. You know, you were at the World Series. You know,
oh yeah, that's yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What are you? Are you completely wrapped up in the NBA already? Like you are immersed one day or actually
I mean,
two
days
nights
in.
Now.
Yeah, it's not like I've really missed anything though. I mean, Tuesday I watched baseball along with the NBA.
Feels like the NBA finals ended 6 weeks ago. No?
I hear you. You know, I felt like that. It felt like that in like September, but now it feels like it's been like forever. I don't know.
You know how it works
in your head like that? It's crazy.
This gentleman has been waiting for the NBA to start with a fever. He is our senior NBA analyst. You know him as JVT. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. You can follow him on Twitter at @MeJVT. He's also the co-host with Kelly Bidlin of Hardwood Handicappers basketball podcast and does two college football shows on the network over the weekend. John joins us now. He's on Daddy Duty. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm, you know, just we bought some new Spider-Man spoons for the young one to, you know, get used to feeding himself. So I'm just kind of watching him make a mess with oatmeal right now, you know.
It's a good effort. Is he giving it a good try? Is he getting there?
Oh yeah. I mean, this one loves food. So like there's no mountain he will not climb to put something in his face. So he is conquering the spoons.
What's like your JVT tip? Are you like, no, this is your mouth, child? Is that what you're
pretty much
kind of thing?
I think what you really got to do is I'll give you tips, Gil, because I know you're probably on the verge of having children. You know, you just got to guide the spoon, you know, you let them handle it. You let them shake all over the place, but you just kind of slowly guide the hand to the gullet. Like that's all you got to do.
Let me check on
the gaping maw that is his mouth.
Let me check on me on the verge having children.
Yeah, congratulations.
Gotta check on that. Yeah. Let's see what that's all about. All right, JVT, two nights, actually, you know, one major night of full NBA action last night or near full NBA action last night. Give me your single biggest way too early takeaway on anything. What made you sit up and go, oh, boy, this is going to be something?
Okay, so I'll go like two ends of the spectrum. I think I'll go with a reasonable, you know, takeaway, and I'll go with an insanely, like, just short sample size I'm willing to overreact to takeaway.
Love it.
The first, I think, nuanced and normal one is, and I texted Kelly this in our Hardwood Handicappers group chat yesterday. I think that the Grizzlies are going to be a play against team as we move forward. You know, that was a bet that Kelly and I both made yesterday. And it was one of those where I don't think the market is really accounting for how thin and different this Grizzlies team is. You know, no John Morant, no Steven Adams, no Brandon Clark. We know that this team is nowhere near, from a depth perspective, the same team that went 20-5 without Ja 2 seasons ago. They only went 11-10 with them last year, without him last year. And one of those key cogs, Tyus Jones, was out there hooping it up for the Washington Wizards yesterday. So, like, when I watched that team, I watched a team that was thin, that was small, that didn't have a lot of shooting. And a lot of teams, like New Orleans did yesterday, are going to just go out, play zone, and dare them to shoot. And I think that's going to lead to a pretty poor season. So I'm really down on Memphis. And until the market kind of adjusts to a degree that I think is reasonable, I'm going to be consistently going against Memphis and even maybe playing some team total to under. So I think that would be the reasonable one from yesterday. I think totally out of this world, like, oh my God, I'm going to totally overreact to this, and I'm willing to be kind of sound crazy. I will invoke the same name that I did. You know, we get a lot of, like, you know, we talk about these awards, right? And we always look in different places. And sometimes when you finally get to watch these guys play, you know, you finally get like, oh, hey, you know, maybe this guy's a candidate for this award. Going back to Tyus Jones, we all talked about how, hey, man, you know, Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma and all these guys are going to be balling it up for the Washington Wizards. Tyus Jones is a damn good player, and he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. And now that he's a starter, I think he's worth a look at most improved player. I think Tyus Jones is going to have a long leash out there in Washington. His numbers are going to go up, and I think he's going to be an outlier candidate to win that award. And I think that's kind of my crazy outlandish one after one game.
All right. Wizards got beat by 23. They dropped 120, and they got beat by 100, right, by 23 last night by the Pacers.
Those Pacers games are going to be ridiculous, those totals.
Yeah, 143-120, as JVT's son reacts as well to that news. And by the way, for those who forgot, Ja Morant out the first 25 games, yep, of this NBA season. Anything tonight? Doubleheader, the old TNT doubleheader. Sixers and Bucks, our first chance to see both of those two teams. Obviously, the new look Bucks with Dame. And then the Suns at the Lakers playing their second games, respectively.
Yep, so I got a bet in both games. First one, I'll go with Philadelphia and Milwaukee. So I took six with Philly. And I think that we're kind of getting to the point where maybe, you know, the market is a little too strong here. It's funny how the conversation differs from what the market thinks sometimes, obviously. But, like, all we heard is, like, hey, Harden, he's useless. What are we doing? Like, you know, he's not that good of a player. He's selfish. But the market's like, ooh, let's bump this up to six because he's not available. Like, this team's kind of deep still. Like, you know, obviously, Joel Embiid is still playing. Last time I checked, Tyrese Maxey is a most improved candidate and arguably favorite because of how well he has developed along the path. You have Tobias Harris. You have PJ Tucker. So you've got a really good collection of players in your starting lineup. You've got De'Anthony Melton and Patrick Beverley. So you've got two guys who can defend at the point of attack and will fit Nick Nurse. And by the way, speaking of Nick Nurse, he's there now. And for those who don't know, in the regular season, Nick Nurse is a coach that is known for game planning to a ridiculous amount when it comes to these regular season games defensively. So I think they're going to have a lot in store for Milwaukee today. And the Bucks are just kind of putting things together. I took six with the Philadelphia 76ers. I think they're going to stay within that number. You know, offshore, it was like 6.5. So if it gets to like 6.5, it's probably going to be there. But I don't think there's going to be much of a difference. And in the Lakers and the Suns game, obviously with Bradley Beal and with Devin Booker, we don't really know what to do with the number. Having said that, I actually went to a player prop. We all remember Anthony Davis, right? Second half, 0-6, whatever. We're all calling up names and making fun of him. But I think when you look at Davis, and especially after the news that we got the other day, LeBron James is going to be on a minutes restriction, it sounds like. He's not going to play more than 30 minutes. His point total prop was at 22.5 against a much less imposing front court. So I played over points for Anthony Davis. And LeBron is not dumb. He understands what the narrative is coming out of that game. He has been very pro Anthony Davis his entire time there. Wouldn't be surprised if there's also a concerted effort to get him the ball and get him some scoring. So Davis over 22.5 and Sixers plus six.
All right. I like it. Refresh my memory. The JVT, the Jonathan Vaughn model, will be making a NBA attempt this year as well. Is that true?
Yep. So that'll be out tomorrow. The John Vaughn model 1.0 actually got delayed because NBA in our meeting yesterday. So I actually have the projections coming out in about an hour or so. But yes, the John Vaughn model player based will be there.
Player based. I like it. And how's the NFL experiment going?
So last week was kind of interesting as I'm kind of getting ready for this week. The player, like the top five best bets, the edges, they went 2-3. So, like, you know, under 500, obviously, and not incredible. But the overall edges actually went 8-5. So it was a successful day overall or successful week overall, but the five biggest edges had a subpar week. So I'm really messing with Gil. So what I've been kind of doing is I've got like my model that I've been using week to week, and then I've got another version of it that is purely based on 2023 statistics. And when I updated that this week, it was the closest it's come to looking more like the betting market. So I think for this week, I might actually just roll with to see how well it does the full 2023 version to see what those edges do, how it performs, and see if I can start to use that one moving forward as opposed to the one that still has a few bits and pieces remaining from the 2022 data.
I love it. I love that you have dived into this and you are absolutely committed to both and learning in the process. We are never, no matter how old you get, Kelly, you're always learning right. something. So JVT, good for him, sort of putting himself out on a limb with this. All right, college football, you are the host, you and Pamela Maldonado doing Live Bet Saturday, each and every Saturday, noon to four here at the network. And of course, also College Lines Revealed with you and Pam, 1 to 3 Eastern on Sunday. Your favorite college football plays of the weekend, sir.
So there's a couple. I would actually gravitate North Carolina last week, right? We're all going to remember that, hey, you get a big win over Miami, then you fall flat on your face against Virginia. If you look at some of the PFF metrics, though, Drake May actually played really freaking well. But his team was charged with 6 drops, and they were key drops. And I think that maybe there is a sense of, hey, look, let's downgrade this team after the result from last week. But they played better than what that result indicated. So they're on the road against Georgia Tech. I think they're about 10.5, 11-point favorites. I think I'm going to come in and actually go with North Carolina as my best bet this weekend because I think this is a good bounce back opportunity. I think the market's overreacting to a result and not realizing what exactly happened in that result that led to it. So Drake May and the Tar Heels are going to be on that list for sure as at least the best bet for the weekend.
Yeah, just projecting forward to the NFL draft. Are you a Drake May guy? Would you draft him first?
You know, I don't know in that, like, as well as like I'm making the case from last week as a whole this year, he's been kind of underwhelming, you know, like the metrics haven't really been there. The numbers haven't really been there. And then he finally gets Tez Walker back. And it's almost like kind of like tunnel vision, like he's going after him almost every single time. And Tez Walker's awesome. But I do kind of get concerned with like, hey, you know, you lost your top 2 wide receivers last year and all of a sudden you kind of go back to mediocrity and then you get one really good receiver and then you start kind of just funneling it to him over and over again. I still think he's going to be the second quarterback, but over Caleb Williams, I'd still go with Williams. But this year has led to some concerns with Williams, given the way this offense has run with him over at USC, you know?
All right, back to your model, because we've got to run. Your leans that the model is spitting out in the NFL are?
Let's see. I just pulled it up for you right now. So the leans really quickly. Top one would probably be the Houston Texans.
Houston Texans. Laying 3 on the road this week. Okay, John, appreciate it. Tend to the children. Thank you, man.
Yes, I will. Good to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Jonathan Montel, I'm me, JVT, on the old Twitter machine. Texans at the Panthers this week. We'll come back. Who will have the best record in the NFL? You can bet on it next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College basketball is about to tip off, and now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide. This year's guide includes Matt Heumann's top 25 rankings, who could be this season's Florida Atlantic, all 32 conferences previewed, Wooden Award candidates, futures, and season-long prop bets. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $120 and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do until May 1st. That's all college basketball season long, March Madness and beyond, for only $120. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Bill Krakenberger here as well. By the way, I did make one futures college basketball play months ago. Alabama, 60-1 to win it all.
Really?
Yeah.
Months ago.
Yes.
What led to that bet?
Me and Michael Montesano were talking about it. Michael Montesano, who won the first booby prize at Circa.
Huh.
And it's just sort of like a Ken Palm juxtaposed against the odds kind of
okay.
brain dead sort of bet. Yeah.
I wanted to explain a little bit more because I thought we were doing this next segment, so I wasn't prepared. So let me tell you, I put on the video sour rooter. Now, what that means is someone's standing behind you rooting against you. They're sour and they're sour rooting. It's an old New York word from the 20s, literally.
Not openly, just quietly rooting against you.
Sometimes, no, not openly. No, but yeah. But. As this person says here, I want to explain some of my people that responded, which I got about 300 responses here. So here is the good explanation. they hang around machines with any sort of a progressive, and when you lose enough that they think it's profitable, they do a combination of standing way too close behind you, blowing smoke at you. I've seen this firsthand, blowing smoke at you over your shoulder, staring or walking past you while you're trying to get you to leave so they can play.
Just stare down.
Now, I got to be honest with you. That kind of intimidation factor hasn't happened to the big guy, me.
Because if it did.
But if it did, I'm not going after anybody, but I mean, I'm just going to grab the cigarette out of your mouth. I can't stand smoke anyway. So, but I've seen that. I was like, oh my God. And the poor old people, I feel bad for the seniors. I've watched it happen.
It's horrible.
But now, let me just tell you what happened. And there's one more definition. And then this guy said, if they succeed, they hammer the machine until the progressive resets to the lowest value and then wait for more people to play again to drive the progressive way up and repeat. They're completely shameless. Let me just tell you, though. I won't purposely go out of my way to do a lot of the machines like this, these bonus machines.
There's a video.
But I will, and the video's up right now, the video's up, and it just basically shows four people standing around with the two people playing the progressive machine. They're standing around, literally, they're just waiting to jump on the chum in the water. That's what they're just waiting there. And by the way, some people know, they've been playing for a while, they know they're not going to leave during the progressive, the people that are there. But yes, there are people that get up, and by the way, this could be worth thousands and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands, if you hit the right combination of something. You're going for a smaller progressive, but you get lucky and hit the bigger ones. Yeah. That's happened to it happened to me once, but it happened to someone I know a half a dozen times. He's hitting 10,000 many, many times, over 10,000, while just trying to play for the $150 or the $300. But so it's worth a dollar amount, but you can lose sometimes too, but it's rare on certain machines, right, you know, to get on at a point where
Here is the question. Is this not being rooted out by casinos?
Unbelievably, no.
Because slots are just not heavily monitored.
Yeah. And even the people in surveillance, the security and stuff, they don't know what's going on. They don't gamble, a lot of them.
But this is my point. The fact is, like, we all know if somebody's doing something, if there's shenanigans going on at a blackjack table,
right,
surveillance is, or the eye in the sky
they're
is
taught,
watching this.
They're taught to watch for card counters, hold counters, ace tracking, shuffle tracking.
But nobody's watching the slots in the same way.
That's correct.
That's why they're still
doing
this.
That's why they need someone like your friend. I'm not going to say it unless you say it.
Yeah.
Your friend. Yeah. To, if he's looking for a position, they could pay him literally 60 grand a year for a 30-hour consultancy every week and show him different things and save the casino literally 50 times his salary. 50.
So can we?
This is only one little thing.
And so let's just talk about this briefly. So in my brief sample size experience with this,
right,
when you bring this up to casinos, right?
Right.
The response is, they'll be offended.
Stuttering.
They'll be offended. Or the other one is, I'm really busy. And so you think to yourself, you're like, okay, what's at play there? And Kelly was mentioning this off air too. There's so many dynamics. One of which is, some people at certain levels are insecure about their own jobs. They don't want to
make a decision that can literally cost them their cushy paycheck they're stealing themselves. So they don't want to. And it goes back to my tweet last week. I put a tweet up like earlier in the week on a Monday. Nothing. All it said is nobody cares with the Bronx Tale. And it just meant generally about almost anything in 2023. That's what this is, too. They don't want to be bothered. They just want to go about their job and not make a decision. Really, though, the CEO, the president of the casino, people up at the top would want to make the company more money because it reflects on their bonuses.
Well, I'm about to go that way because I'm just like, you only have to spend 20 minutes with him. And it's not only this, what we were talking about.
There's so many things going on in casinos.
Yeah, this is not even the biggest thing.
No.
I'm just talking about like the way that they dole out comps is so inefficient.
That is unbelievable. You're talking about this.
Yeah.
That's Watson, the number one thing that bothers me is they go by a computer system that's antiquated, that's so skewed towards the casino, like the theoretical.
Yeah.
And I hope I didn't cut you off.
No, no, no.
The theoretical, the way the theoreticals are, they're not the real theoreticals. In other words, let's say I go to a blackjack table. I'm a good sized player.
Yeah.
I want the table by myself. I want to take a $20,000 mark. I want the table by myself. Well, okay. So you rate me heads up versus the dealer rather than a table full of six people where you're going to get less decisions per hour. The theoretical should be much, much more, much greater.
That's exactly right.
Much greater for that single person playing alone, getting in triple the hands, four or five times the hands. That's only one example of the theoretical. Other is the game. The theoreticals are just plain wrong. Casino executives have told me this from multiple different casinos. The theoretical's wrong. It's skewed towards the house. You have to have some street smart, some common sense involved. Here you have Joe Blow that comes in literally six times a year to your casino, and you know, he loses, you know, $25,000 a year. He's dedicated to your casino. He comes to your place and you turn him down for even a buffet comp for two, because he said, you know what, right now, Joe, your Theo's only worth one buffet comp, and I'm using a nice strip casino. It's only worth one buffet comp. Charge it to your room. They always want you to charge it to your room. By the way, I'm one that I hate when they say charge it to your room, because I live here. I don't have a room, but even if I do, I try to get around that, because they always want to. When they say charge it to your room, you know what they're doing? Passing the buck. Passing the buck to someone at the end of your trip that's going to say, well, you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to pick up 40% of your bill. So they're still not giving you your full comp bill that you're probably entitled to anyway. But it's aggravating. There's so many different things, Gil. They need to know that more, that part of the business. That's why you need a casino host. When you go to a casino, I know most people out there think, well, I don't play enough to get a casino. Yes, you do. Yeah. Trust me. You play enough to get a casino host. When you go in a casino, go to the host office, get their card, talk to them a little bit. They only get paid by helping people. So you're definitely entitled to more. Listen, don't go by those kiosks. Give me a break. Those kiosks are not showing you the right comp value. Do not go by them. Use a host. Make sure next time you know. If not, tell them I sent you in. Use a host.
If they spent 20 minutes with this friend of mine, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It would make such an impact on their bottom line. If they hired him as a consultant.
Sure.
Right? Just a consultant. It would impact their bottom line. But it is amazing. And I don't think this is a casino gaming specific problem in this world. I think in most industries, if you in any way threaten anyone's security,
yes,
their expertise, you just have to. It is tough to.
That's
get,
my wife talking. She says the same thing. Goes, Bill, it's every industry.
It's every industry. She's right. It's not just ours.
I think it's ours more. Are we too close to the sun?
We are too close to the sun. I think it's ours more because we are too close to the sun, and I'd probably bet that ours is a little more. But it's every industry.
But sometimes, you know, it all comes down to the money, right? So, like, sometimes you have businesses, and like I think you're right. This is every business we're talking about. But you have a business out there that needs new ideas to change losses into profits, right?
Right.
Some of these casinos just have money flowing in. That's what we're talking about. Like, who's even if you know it's an issue, you're going to be the guy who's going to risk your job by bringing up a very small issue on the actual bottom line of what the casinos are bringing in.
Yeah.
That's why I think a lot of the big reason
you're
why
right.
it doesn't happen.
You're right. That's a dynamic too.
It's another, and that's other businesses, right? If it's working well, even if you think you have an idea to make it better, or are you willing to ruffle the status quo?
Getting back to your original point, that's why like the only person that is truly incentivized to listen is like the guy, the man or woman at the very, very,
very
top who's like, wait a minute, listen to that guy right there.
I will tell you though, you know, I say they don't do anything. One of the largest casino corporations in this town did do something about 3 weeks ago. They got rid of all the slot hustlers.
Oh, they did.
Individually took their cards and they trespassed them and said, you're not allowed to be here. Because it's a private property after all. So they did trespass them.
Yeah.
That made the other casinos' properties, like the Caesars properties, the Wynn property. I can't believe all the hustlers in the Wynn.
Let me just ask.
And Caesars.
Let me just ask this as we go to commercial.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a Bill Krakenberger violence event at one of these if they aggravate you?
No. I'm not violent. I got Palmolive hands. I saved that for other people.
More with the crack man on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.